Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, UCA members and visitors. Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio. And by the way, UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors. If you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking a true believer. If you work in the ministry, if whatever you do for the glory of God the Father and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an ambassador for Christ. And so therefore you are a UCA member automatically. I'm your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which is, by the way, located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. Once again, if you're in the area, the Upland area in California, it's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And keep in mind, our services start in the afternoon, 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. All right, so come and visit us. Okay, now text or inbox all your friends and family members and tell them to dial in. The number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or you can just look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram. Okay, just click on the link where you see the post for today's program. And you can listen to it from your computer all week, especially on Facebook. On Facebook, you can click on it and listen to the entire program today and all week. All righty? Okay. Now, don't forget that we have our book, Who is God Unveiling the Mystery? Who is God Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. Now, that's pretty big. We're going to try to unveil a little bit of the revelation of Jesus Christ and God the Father, the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can't really know the, we can't really unveil everything, the full, you know, of who God really is. But we can scrape the surface a little bit, and with whatever unveiling that he has given to us, we can share with each other. So we're going to share Who is God Unveiling the Mystery. Get this book. It's available on Amazon right now. You can go to Amazon and order this book, okay? Who is God Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. Or you can just go to our webpage, churchofjesuschristministry.com, www.churchofjesuschristministry.com. And you can, and when you go on the page, you can just navigate. You hit those three little lines, and then you'll be able to navigate throughout the whole web page. You will be able to go to books and click on books, and it will have Who is God Unveiling the Mystery, and you can just simply click on where it tells you to click again, and it'll take you right to Amazon so you can order the book. Okay. Also, while you're on the page, just go to Media while you're on the page, and it will take you to the Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila McCain on hsbn.tv. You just click on it, and when you get to that page, the Message of Life, then you will see all the different programs that we have lined up, and you can click on any program you want on hsbn.tv. You can always catch us on other apps as well, YouTube and many others. Okay, so go ahead and join us. And be blessed, and I think that's it for my announcements. So for right now, just stay where you are. We will be right back, and we're going to go right into our message for today. And by the way, you don't want to miss this message today. It will answer some questions for you, okay? Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're bigger than the problem.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I'm Pastor Timar McCain, and let's get right into our message for today. Our message for today is a question. Can you lose your salvation? Can you lose your salvation? I've heard people say, once saved, always saved, meaning that no matter what you do, you will never lose your salvation. You'll always be saved. Well, that's not necessarily true. You are always saved if you stay with the Lord and never forsake him. The question is asked, once again, can you lose your salvation? And many scholars will say, no, you cannot lose your salvation. But once again, I tell you, that's simply not true. The truth is, and listen, you can lose your salvation, but that's strictly up to you. Many people have lost their position and salvation in God by willingly leaving him and go whoring after other false gods. Just going whoring after other gods. Any other god other than the one true God is a false god. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That means that they have turned from the Lord. They have rejected him of their own free will. It means that you made your salvation of none effect. It means that you willingly released yourself from the covenant of God. Keep in mind that Adam willingly gave up his birthright. He gave up his position in God. Adam was a god and priest over the earth. He was even called a son of God, meaning that he was an heir of God because he was to multiply and replenish the earth with other sons of God. That's why the Lord said, let them have dominion over the earth. Adam inherited the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Esau had no respect. Let's just go to Esau. Esau had no respect for his birthright, so he gave it away. His birthright didn't mean as much to him as it did to Jacob. Yes, he was hungry, but I don't think that Jacob would have let his brother just simply die of hunger right in front of him. Let's read about it. Genesis 25, verse 29 through 34. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Now that was something that Esau should have never done. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Jacob wanted his birthright. He really wanted that birthright. But Jacob was willing to make a deal with Esau. Now, had Esau said no and stood firm with it, then I think Jacob would have eventually allowed Esau to go ahead and have his red pottage of lentils, you know. But Esau didn't stand firm. You know, Jacob wasn't a bad person. He wasn't going to just sit up there and let his brother die of starvation. He would have given him the lentils had he saw that Esau was determined to hold on to his birthright, he would have said, okay, I lost that deal. Here, go ahead and eat. You know? But Esau gave it up. He gave it away. When we become a Christian, we have a birthright. We are born again people. Now understand, we're still growing. We are not fully mature yet. We are all still growing. But we are born again Christians. God do not want us to give up our birthright, because that means that we are not only rejecting God the Father, but Christ Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all of that means that we are rejecting heaven and all that pertains to heaven. We are rejecting our heavenly inheritance. You can also lose your position with the Lord, a position that God has placed you in, like, for example, King Saul. Saul lost his kingship. It was taken from him because of his disobedience. Just like Adam lost his position because of disobedience. Saul wanted to please the people rather than please God. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 28. This is what Samuel said. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of yours that's better than you. You see, years ago, my pastor, the late Ray Cirillo, had a vision. And in his vision, he was leading a group of people on a straight and narrow pathway. This pathway was solid in the center, but very weak and flimsy on the edges. You could easily fall off. So you had to walk in single file while you were on this pathway. You had to walk one person in front of the other. Single file. Ray was in front, leading the people toward a light, but someone close behind him tried to walk around him and fell off. You see, sometimes when people are walk, when you're walking like this, single file, and someone is the leader, some people feel like they can lead, so they want to go around you and try to take your position. Well, this person tried to walk around him and fell off. But by God's grace, he was restored. He had to take a lesser position in line. He lost his place. He lost his position. That person lost his position, but by God's grace, he was able, praise God, to get back on the path. He could have lost his position and been totally kicked off, but God's grace allowed him to get back on the path. Let's take Solomon, for example, also. Solomon allowed his pagan wives to cause him to stray away from the Lord, stray away so far that he began to build shrines and altars for their false gods. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 7, then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, that's a demon, the abomination of Moab, the people of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, that's another demon, the abomination of the children of Ammon. He was building these shrines and altars to these people, I mean to these demons, these false gods. Solomon, he just turned, he rejected the Lord. He turned on the living God that gave him, the God that gave him wisdom so much that he was the wisest and the richest man in that era, in that time. You see, Paul warns us continually to be careful in our walk. Some Christians, they want to dip their feet in the things of the world. But when you do that, when you try to dip your feet, those spirits will pull you in. So be careful. They desire Egypt. That means they still have Egypt in their heart. They still have Sodom and Gomorrah in their hearts. That means that they still have the world in their hearts. Even the children of Israel lost their salvation after they left Egypt. Their hearts were still in Egypt. Therefore, they didn't make it to the promised land, but died in the wilderness. Just like today, many Christians still desire the world. And we all have to check ourselves because no one is exempt. You can easily get pulled into the world if you're not careful. That's why you have to be very careful with your walk. Guard your heart. Because don't think that you're so big that you can't get pulled. Because you can get pulled. If King David can get pulled into sin, so can we. That's why it's so close to walk close to the Lord. It's so important to walk close to the Lord. Hold on to him as you're walking. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You see, the Christians, many Christians, not all now, but many Christians still desire the things of the world. Therefore, they run with people of the world. You ever notice that? Some people, you say, well, wait a minute, what is he or she doing running with this person? Because that we know who this person is. That person is really, really a worldly person, not thinking about the Lord. So why are these Christians hanging out and running with these people? Paul warns us to not keep company with these kinds of people, or you will stray away from God. And they don't understand that. To keep in contact, to keep company and running with people of the world, all that's doing is pulling on you. And eventually you will stray away from God. The things of the Lord will not be important to you anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company with those kind of people. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. In other words, don't keep fellowship with them. Don't hang out with them. Otherwise, you will get pulled. That's why we are to keep away from these kinds of people, because they can pull you away from God and cause you to live their lifestyle. It's happened many times with many people, and many of those people repented and came back, but some got lost in it. But even still, if that be the case, you can always repent and turn to God. And God will forgive you and accept you. If you went a little overboard, you can always turn around, call on the name of the Lord and come back. Repent. As it is written in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you want to be cleansed of all unrighteousness, if you've gone too far out there, and you know that you've gone too far out, come on back, confess your sins before the Lord, repent, and he will forgive you, and he will not only forgive you, but clean you up. So you can regain your birthright by repenting, but I mean really repenting. Some people repent for the moment, and then they're right back at it, but you've got to really repent and mean it. Do a complete turnaround. Turn from the sin and turn to God. Therefore, I encourage you to walk upright before the Lord. Take heed to the word of God that you have heard and remain faithful to him. As it is written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. God has a plan for us. It's to develop us into mature disciples, people of power and faith. That's what God has for us. That's why we have to take the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, the word of God that we've heard. That's why the Hebrew writer says that. We must take the earnest heed to the things we have heard. It's because if we don't give the more earnest heed to the word of God, like I said, we will drift away. It'll be a slowly drifting away, and you won't even realize how far you drift away till it's too late. Let's remain in God's plan. He wants us to be a powerful people. But if we turn from God, knowing that he is God, and knowing and experiencing the things of heaven, things that you have experienced, and you've tasted some of the things of heaven, then you are willingly giving up your birthright if you turn your back on the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to repent, to renew them again unto repentance. He says it's impossible because they knew God, yet they turned their back on God. It's impossible to renew them, seeing that they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. When you have gone this far, then it is impossible because your mind is set. You are determined to be disobedient to God and reject him. It's all over for you. So you can lose your salvation. Yes, only when you give it away. When you give it away, the only way to lose your salvation is to give up your birthright and forsake the Lord. That means that you willingly gave it away. Like, for example, in Ezekiel, when the elders of Israel were worshiping with their backs against the Lord, they had their backs turned, and they turned their backs on the Lord, and they were in the tabernacle. They were there, but they were worshiping, but they wasn't worshiping God because they turned their back on God. Ezekiel 8, verse 6 through 12. He said, furthermore unto me, the Lord said this to Ezekiel. He said, son of man, seest thou what they do, these elders, these ancient of Israel, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? In other words, they're running God away from his very own sanctuary. Even many in the overall church today do things that drive the Lord away, drives him away from his very own sanctuary. Then the Lord went on to say, but turn thee yet again, and you shall see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he, God, unto me, son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that were, that he said, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold every form of creeping things, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. They were in secret. The leaders of Israel were in secret worshiping other gods. And they thought that God couldn't see it. They were in secret worshiping other gods. Well, did you know that there are many in our churches today, many people in our churches today are doing witchcraft. They go see psychics and soothsayers, many of them. Many of them even practice witchcraft, trying to cast spells on people. I'm telling you, these type of things be happening right inside the church. They have drifted away so much that they're worshiping demons or objects, you know, money, fame, and fortune. All of that is a form of witchcraft, and all of that is rejecting the Lord. The scripture goes on to say, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jehazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand. And a thick cloud of incense went up. They were burning incense to other gods, and people that was important people. That's why it was written that Jehazaniah, the son of Shaphan, that he was even there doing it. Now, these were supposed to be real men of God that the people of Israel looked up to, and they had a lot of respect. But yet, in secret, they were worshiping demons. These are the leaders, just like the leaders of today are doing a lot of the same things. Not all of them, but many of the Christian leaders today are doing this same very thing. Then said he unto me, then said God unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chamber of his imagery, even in their imagination? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. This is how they feel. And many people, many even today in our churches, some of these false leaders, that's how they feel. That's how they think, that the Lord has forsaken the earth. He don't see what we're doing. Feel like that they can just go ahead and do what they want. You know, and these are some of the leaders who started off being real men of God. But when they fell from their place, you know, they fell from their place by mixing God's word with their own opinions, the opinions of men and the opinions of demons for riches and wealth, then the glory departed. They became Ichabod, and they became self-proclaimed prophets. You see, when the glory leave, you have to do something to keep the people there. So you proclaim yourself as a prophet. You become a false evangelist, false apostle, or even a false pastor who are worshiping demons in private and thinking that the Lord doesn't see it. These people have lost their salvation. They have turned willingly. They have turned their backs against the Lord willingly. That question, can you lose your salvation? That same question goes in the same category as, can a Christian be possessed by a demon? Many people will say, no, a Christian cannot be possessed. The answer is yes, if you allow it, if you open up demonic portals and doorways, you can get possessed. You can be possessed. Keep in mind that when Jesus cast out demons, he cast them out of his own people. Mark chapter 1, verse 39, and he preached in their synagogues or their churches in their time. They were called synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Demons were even in their churches, in their synagogues, as it is written in Mark chapter 1, verse 23. Suddenly a man with an unclean spirit cried out in the synagogue. You see, even today we have demons in some of our Christian churches. There are some churches that have a seat for Satan right there in the church. We cannot be ignorant, Christians. I'm talking to the true believers out there. We cannot be ignorant. We have to understand that we are God's people also, and some of us need demons to be cast out of us. Some of us are being overtaken, depressed by demons, possessed by demons, just continually attacked by demons. And if we're not careful, they can pull on you so much, put suggestive things in your mind that will cause you to start reasoning like a demon would reason. And then the next thing you know, you've strayed away from the Lord. You know, all of that, you know, can a Christian be possessed? That's the same as asking, can a Christian get sick? The answer is yes, a Christian can get sick. You know, just keep in mind, Christian, that if you do get sick, you can call on the name of the Lord. And also understand that the root of every sickness is demon-related. You know, even when demons are cast out of somebody, when the Lord casts out demons, or even if you have to cast out a demon out of somebody, most of the time you have to heal the person afterwards. Cast out the demon, and then the person need to be healed, because that demon kept that sickness in the person. So when the demon left, now you got to heal them. So yes, a Christian can be possessed and a Christian can get sick. But like I said, when we get sick, Christians, it could be our fault or it could just be a straight up attack by demons when we get sick. But it doesn't matter, because once we call on the name of the Lord for healing and deliverance, the Lord will heal you. So going back to the original question, Can a Christian lose his or her salvation? The answer, yes. A Christian can lose his or her salvation. But once again, if you allow it, by forsaking the Lord, if you are not walking in a true and pure relationship with the Lord, anything can happen to you. But anytime you forsake the Lord and turn your back on him, that means that you have turned yourself over to demonic influences. In some way, you've turned yourself over, which means that you now worship false gods, which can be anything. It can be objects, people, philosophies and doctrines of men, pagan religions. You can worship yourself or demons, which means that you have given yourself over to witchcraft or some form of witchcraft. And that means that you are worshiping Satan in a direct way or in an indirect way. When you do all these things, that makes you vulnerable to be possessed by demons, by demonic spirits. You have given them a legal right to enter into your life, a legal right to enter into your life, your body and your mind. They will enter into your life, your body and your mind, and then they will vex your very spirit and your soul. These are the things that happen to you if you give up your born-again birthright. These things can very well happen. Keep in mind that if you turn your back on the living God, you leave yourself open for demonic possession. And it can happen, people. Don't think it can't, which means that Satan is in control of your life. Once those demons possess you, Satan is in control of your life. Those very demons are in control of your life. Therefore, I encourage you all to stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I encourage you to love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I encourage you to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. When you totally submit to God, then you have the power to resist the devil. And he won't just walk away. He will flee. He will run. He'll book a cab, an Uber, or anything just to get away from you. And when you are tempted or feeling weak, I encourage you to encourage yourself in the Lord. And then trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Keep the word of God in you, and you will live. And good success, as Jesus said, you will live and have good success, as Jesus said himself in John 15, verse 7. He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, which means his rhema or spoken word, spoken directly in you, you keep it. It's spoken directly to you. You keep it in you. And if you do that, you shall ask what you will pertaining to the word that he spoke directly to you, and it shall be done unto you. So I say this very day, and I hope you hear me and take heed. Listen, all of you out there that's listening to this broadcast, listen to me and take heed. Never, ever forsake the Lord your God, the creator of all things, our Savior, our life, our love, our everything, because he will never forsake you if you stay with him. He will never forsake you. Just stay with the Lord and let him use you to bring others into his marvelous kingdom. Let him use you. Ask him, Lord, use me. I'm going to stay with you, Father God. But I want you to use me to do your perfect will in this hour. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. are listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and the message. I'm Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and for those of you who may have just tuned in, we're going to give you our scriptures for today. So if you have a pen or whatever, you want to write this down. It's 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 7. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Also, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all unrighteousness. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. God has a plan for us. It's to develop us into mature disciples, people of power and faith. Ooh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have to understand that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. Our Savior, we stay with him. We will be saved. We will be delivered. He is our deliverer. And we have to understand that and walk in that and trust in him and believe in our very loving Savior. Praise the Lord. Don't go away. You are listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I just want to thank you all for tuning in to our program. A lot of faithful listeners that listen in every Monday at 3 p.m. Remember, tell some people about that. We're here at 3 p.m. Pacific time every Monday and 6 p.m. Eastern time. So check your time zone wherever you are and tune in. You know, could be mountain or whatever, but check your time zone and then tune in and listen to the messages that we have. These are some messages that will help you grow and wax strong in the spirit. So stick with us as we bring forth messages that the Lord has given us to share to you, given me to share to you these messages every Monday. So be sure to tune in and tell your friends and family to do that. You know the number because some of you have dialed in. Some of you know to click on your computers and you can listen from your computer and be blessed. Okay, so remember to do that. Don't forget also that my wife and I have Christian Talk on Wednesday. Same phone number that you dialed in for this program, you will dial in for that one as well. Same phone number. And you can also listen to it on Facebook. And if you see the post on Instagram, Twitter, whatever, just go ahead and click on the link or dial in and listen to Christian Talk on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific, which will be 11 p.m. Eastern. But still, you know, check your time zone. It's in the evening. So check your time zone and dial in or listen from your computer. You will be blessed with some of the things that we do. Sometimes we have guests, special guests will come in, and we will interview them, and they'll give us their testimony, and this is beautiful. And sometimes it's TNT time where Tasila and myself will give you a message. And either way, it's a blessing to many, and a lot of people enjoy Christian Talk. As a matter of fact, we've grown quite a bit. When we first started off, we started hitting it really hard and was growing from the time Christian Talk actually started. We started growing, and more people are being more familiar with Christian Talk. So be sure to tune in. We love it when you guys tune in because we want to get the word out. So we ask that you spread the word and get it on out there. Okay. So thank you for tuning in. We'll be here again next week at 3 p.m. for UCA Radio. So tell your friends about it. Until then, good night, everybody. See you next week.
Second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. We'll be right back. gave me your love.